So in today's gospel story, oh, right over there. In today's gospel story, we have a pretty typical story of a religious leader being somewhat of a jerk and Jesus telling him off. It seems to happen a lot in the gospels, but I have to admit, this time I feel a little bit sorry for this synagogue leader. You see, if any of you have ever been in a leadership position, you know that you get the no fun job of being the one who makes everybody sure everybody follows the rules. And you don't get to, and like, not that it can't be fun to be a leader, but you don't get that sort of fun role of being the rebel who goes and breaks all the rules that everybody thinks is cool. I remember when I got my first taste of this in high school, when I was a leader on mission trips. And we had rules on these mission trips, and I'd been chosen to be a leader among my peers. And we had rules that I thought were fairly reasonable. Like when we were riding in a van for 50 hours on our way to Mexico, we were not allowed to buy energy drinks. Because you don't want a whole bunch of already energetic teenagers in the back chugging energy drinks as fast as they can. And that just... You laugh, but it happened. So, of course, just because it's a rule, and just because we told them ahead of time, no energy drinks, there's always somebody that when we'd stop at a gas station would try to sneak in a Red Bull or a Monster. And pretty soon, either I would see it, or I'd hear people giggling, and then I like hear the whispering that somebody got an energy drink, or somebody broke some rule. And I had to make the choice of either telling on them, or just telling them to stop, or, you know, ignoring it. Because if I told them that they had to stop, or if I told on them, then instantly I'm the bad guy, even though they're the ones that broke the rules. And it can be miserable sometimes, because all of a sudden nobody likes you. And it's worse for this guy, because his story made it into the Bible. So for the past 2,000 years, people have been telling stories about what a jerk this guy was. And why? What did he do? Well, in this story, we have a woman who has been crippled for 18 years. Her back is bent, and she is unable to stand up straight. She's been known as the town cripple for 18 years. I can barely imagine. My memory barely goes back 18 years. But you can imagine that she did everything that she could do. She sought out every kind of healing she could. Today, we would go to a doctor who would send us to a physical therapist and maybe a chiropractor. If that didn't work and we were desperate, we'd go to an acupuncturist or something. She didn't have all that, but you know that she would have prayed to God. She would have prayed for healing. Lord, please heal me. Please release me from this bondage. Please help me to stand up straight and not feel this pain anymore. But after 18 years, I think we can imagine that she had come to realize that this probably was never going to change, that this was just her lot. She was not going to heal, and she was going to have to deal with this for the rest of her life. And so she shows up to the synagogue on this Sabbath, and it doesn't say that she asked Jesus for healing. She was just showed up for a Sabbath lesson to hear from this preacher who'd been traveling through town. And she walks in, and there's Jesus, and he sees her, and he locks eyes, and he sees her pain. He sees her suffering. And he points to her and says, "Woman, you are free from this ailment." And she stands up straight, and she is healed for the first time in 18 years. Can you imagine the celebration? She is praising God. This unlooked-for joy, this unlooked-for healing. And the community around her is just astonished and celebrating with her, except for this synagogue leader, who I presume knew her, who I presume had known her for a long period of time as this woman with the bent back. And he's not celebrating. He's mad. He's angry. And he's scolding Jesus because he broke the rules. You should have done that tomorrow. You should have done that any other day. Today is the Sabbath. Why'd you break the rule? Now, hold on a second. This Sabbath leader, he'd seen her pain. He'd observed the pain that she had gone through, but he didn't know it. He didn't know what it was like. He didn't know how she felt. But he thought that it was his job to tell her that she had to wait another day for healing. And Jesus points out his hypocrisy. He says, listen, I know you make an exception to bring your animals to water on the Sabbath day, that you can work for that. But you can't make an exception for your sister to be healed? And it's true. The teachers of the law back then had determined, I think reasonably enough, that animals need to drink on Sunday too. It's hot in Israel. So you were allowed to do the work of untying your ox or your donkey and leading them to the water, so long as you didn't put anything on their backs for them to carry. But there was also another rule, that you could not engage in the work of healing on the Sabbath, because see, that could wait for another day. But why? But why, Jesus asks, why is the donkey more important than her? Why should she not be set free on this Sabbath day? You see, it is not the place of people who are comfortable, of people who are not suffering, to look at somebody who is suffering in bondage, in pain, and set the timetable for their healing. It's not up to them to say, you have to wait to be free, to be healed. And if any of us are in pain, suffering, if we need healing, we don't need to wait for somebody else's permission who is comfortable, who's not experiencing what we are, to seek healing. This has happened too often in our history on a bigger scale as well. I've spoken before of how Martin Luther King faced opposition from people who agreed with him but just thought, you know, it's not the right time. You're upsetting the apple cart too much. We're not ready. You need to wait to be free. It is not the job of those who are comfortable to tell those who are suffering to wait. And you'd think anybody with any sort of tact, with any sort of compassion, would have been able to recognize this in this situation, that this synagogue leader would have been able to look at this woman who had been in pain and bondage for so long and celebrate with her. But he couldn't. He was blinded to compassion. He couldn't see with eyes of joy and celebration. And why? Why was he blinded? He was blinded because he thought his role was to protect the tradition, was to keep the rules of the Sabbath for their own sake. And he forgot what they were all about in the first place. See, the prophet Isaiah, whom we heard today in Isaiah 58, when he speaks about God's heart for true worship, for the Sabbath, he uses words like removing the yoke, satisfying the needs of the afflicted, abstaining from the pointing of fingers and shifting of blame. Talks about restoring the breach, restoring streets to live in. Talks about freedom and healing. There's nothing more fitting than that this woman should have been freed and healed on the Sabbath day. See, these traditions that were handed down, traditions like the Sabbath, rules that were handed down, they're meant to pass the wisdom of one generation onto the next. They're meant to serve as a foundation on which we can build. They're meant to be keys that can unlock doors to spaces that we never would have got to on our own. But that's not always how we use traditions, is it? Sometimes those traditions, instead of being foundations on which to build, become ceilings which we cannot rise above. Instead of keys to open doors to new spaces, they become locks that close us in. There's a saying that I like to think of whenever I'm trying to understand how to use the traditions that we've been passed down, like the Sabbath. There's a church historian named Yaroslav Pelikan who said this. He said, tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. I mean, let us think about that for a minute. There's a lot in those words. Tradition is the living faith of the dead, passed down to new generations to continue living on and giving life and healing and liberating. Traditionalism is what happens when we start practicing those traditions for their own sake, when we forget the spirit in which they were given. And it becomes the dead faith of the living. It becomes us clinging to the ways that we think are right, to what we think is the truth, and not living with open hands. See, when we come to those who've gone before us, when we come to our elders, our pastors, our parents. And we sit at their feet and they tell us, keep the Sabbath day holy. I know you're busy. I know the world could not get on without you and all the work you do. But just take one day to rest, to be free, to delight in the Lord. And in the words, the very poetic words of Isaiah, he will make you to ride upon the heights of the earth. You will know the grace and the healing of Jesus on that day, and you won't be distracted and pulled apart. And then we go on and we practice that. That is the living faith of the dead. That is the tradition passed down to us. That's how we learn to experience the gospel. But the synagogue leader, he had found himself in the realm of this traditionalism. He thought he was defending the Sabbath. He thought by making sure that people were following the rules and not healing on the Sabbath and were doing everything right, he thought that he was defending the Sabbath. But in truth, this is the irony of the story. He betrayed the Sabbath because he forgot what it was all about in the first place. It's about freedom. It's about healing, delighting in the Lord and rest. And so he thought he was defending it, but he was betraying it. So this story leaves us with a lot to think about. Wherever we see ourselves in this story, whether we are like the woman and we're coming to church on Sunday needing healing, needing to be set free, or whether we're like Jesus and we have the opportunity to reach our hands out in compassion and heal and set others free, or whether we hear this story and we find that we have been like the leader of the synagogue, defending traditions for their own sake, standing for the truth, for the right way to do things, and forgetting what was all about in the first place. This story leaves us with much to think about. Now, for some of us, today is a Sabbath. Some of us have to work on Sundays, and so we've chosen another day of the week to be our Sabbath. Whatever day that is for you, think on this story, and let that day be a day of healing, of rest and freedom. Don't let anybody tell you that all that good stuff can wait for another day once you're done with everything you have to do. We are God's people, and this is the Sabbath. So why shouldn't we be free?